President, Mr. President of Israel, Federal President of Germany, representatives of all the constitutional organs, Excellencies, Professor Tisch, colleagues, esteemed guests. At the beginning of May, the Topography of Terror is to be opened here in Berlin. This is a new documentation centre, and it is being built on the foundations of the headquarters of the Gestapo, the SS, and the Reich Main Security Office, as it was known. There is probably no other place in the world from which such a despicable campaign of murder and terror was planned and organised. And the genocide of the European Jews was managed from there, only a few hundred metres from where we are today, and yet seemingly light years away. When Auschwitz was liberated on the 27th of January 1945, the camp had survived 5 years, five unbelievably long years. And during that period, more than 1 million people were murdered there alone. Today, on the 65th anniversary of the liberation, we remember all the victims who became entangled in the machinery of persecution and death of the Nazi regime. We remember all those who were robbed of their dignity, their health, their worldly possessions, and indeed of their lives. European Jews, Sinti and Roma, people with disabilities, forced labourers, homosexuals, political dissenters, artists, academics, all those people who were vilified as enemies of National Socialism. And we also remember those people who were harassed, arrested, and tortured because they were engaged in resistance or because they provided assistance and protection to people being persecuted. And we renew our promise not to forget what has happened in the past. We are aware of the responsibility we bear to combat any form of hate, intolerance, discrimination, exclusion, and anti-Semitism with determination. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the European Jews and the Poles who made up the biggest groups of the victims of Auschwitz. So we are particularly grateful to have a guest from both from Poland and from Israel with us today. I would like to welcome the President of the State of Israel, Mr. Shimon Peres, and I would like to welcome the historian, Professor Tisch, from Poland. According to a publication by Professor Tisch, until 1942, there was no bigger closed Jewish population than the one which existed in Poland. 10% of the overall population were Jews, and indeed 40% of the urban population, almost 3.5 million people. Until 1939, Warsaw was seen as one of the centres of Jewish life across the world. 400,000 Jews lived there alone, compared with around 500,000 Jews living in Germany until 1933. Many Jews across the world today have Polish roots, and this also applies to the president of Israel, Mr. Peres, who was born in the town of Vishniev, which was in Poland and is today in Belarus. And after traumatic experiences, he and his family emigrated to Tel Aviv in 1934. It is not very often that a foreign head of state is invited to speak to the German Bundestag. Shimon Peres is the third Israeli president to be invited to speak to the German Bundestag. And he is speaking on a particularly important day. This underlines the very special relations which exist between our states, which are unparalleled. These are no normal relations. The relationship between Israel and Germany was never normal, and therefore it ought or must not be normalized. Our relations will always be shaped by the unprecedented experiences of our shared history. Israel was built on the ashes of the Holocaust. And for the second democracy in Germany, endeavours to learn the lessons of the Holocaust belong to the very cornerstones of our constitution, which was written after a totalitarian system had violated human dignity and, in a terrible combination of inhumanity and megalomania, had ultimately destroyed its own country politically, economically, and morally, and had left millions of victims in its wake. Over the 65 years after the liberation of the concentration camps, a friendship developed between Israel and Germany. A friendship which at the time nobody would seriously have dared to hope for. Shimon Peres once said that in the fledgling state of Israel, the prevailing view was that the break with Germany must be final and everlasting. Bearing in mind the fact that the founders of Israel included survivors of the death camps and expellees from the destroyed ghettos, bearing this in mind, this is depressing, yet it is an understandable attitude. And we must be particularly thankful for David Ben-Gurion and Konrad Adenauer, the first heads of government of our two countries. We must be particularly grateful to them for the fact that trust was able to be rebuilt despite the deep divisions which existed, and that they laid the foundations for what we mean today when we talk about the special relationship between Germany and Israel. We Germans bear a responsibility for the state of Israel. Whenever the right of existence of Israel and the safety of its population is under threat, where the right of its people to live in secure borders is threatened, there can be no neutrality for us Germans. We Germans have a special responsibility for the existence and the security of Israel, a responsibility which is rooted in history. Some things are negotiable, yet Israel's right to exist is non-negotiable. The existence of a country armed with nuclear weapons in its neighbourhood, led by an openly anti-Semitic regime, is unacceptable not only to Israel. The international community as a whole must not tolerate a threat of this kind. Although Israel and Germany are linked through their experience of the Holocaust, reducing our relations only to the historical perspective would be to take too narrow a perspective. We are working closely together to shape the future. There are over 100 town twinning projects which exist between Germany and Israel. There are dozens of cooperation projects between universities and academic institutions. And there are lively and mutually beneficial cultural ties and ties in the area of trade which are growing. And there are also intergovernmental consultations which now take place on a regular basis between our two countries. 65 years ago, or 60 years ago, this would have been unimaginable. And what is particularly impressive, what I see as wonderful, is the fact that Jewish life has returned to Germany. After the Shoah, it seemed unimaginable that there would ever be flourishing Jewish communities in Germany. And now, the Jewish communities in Germany are growing. And every synagogue which is opened or reopened takes us one step closer to our aim, to the aim which was formulated by Paul Spiegel when he talked about the Renaissance of Judaism. We are grateful for every tender shoot of renewal of Jewish life and Jewish culture. And, Mr. President, we are particularly grateful to you for agreeing to speak to us here today. Ladies and gentlemen, Felix Tisch survived the Holocaust, thanks to forged identity papers, which allowed him to pass himself off as the orphaned nephew of a Polish teacher. His parents and his siblings were murdered. As a person, he brings together the two elements of a personal fate and a distanced academic analysis, because he is both a victim, a contemporary witness, and a historian. He headed the Jewish Historical Institute in Warsaw and developed this into an impressive archive and museum centre. A centre which dealt, amongst other things, with the collection of the Warsaw Ghetto. And he also edited the first Polish school book about the consequences of the Holocaust. He looked in particular at the question of the consequences of the Holocaust for the Polish society and the society of other Central and Eastern European countries. And one of his books is entitled The Long Shadow of the Holocaust. He has focused in particular on the question of what it meant for the Polish people to be forced to become the direct witnesses of a genocide. He said that those people in Germany who did not want to know to what end or with what end Jews were transported from Germany, Austria, Holland, Belgium, or France to the East, those people didn't have to know it, or they could pretend not to know it. And, as we know, this fact had a major impact on wartime memories. Yet in Poland, in the Baltic states, in Ukraine or in Belarus, it was not possible to know nothing. People could not even pretend to themselves not to know. And as Professor Tisch also points out, and I quote, this meant that these populations were most strongly exposed to the moral consequences of the Holocaust. In this sense, he said, the Poles are unknowingly amongst the moral victims of the Holocaust, whilst the Jews were its physical victims. And in German-Polish relations too, the Holocaust and the crimes of the Nazi regime will always remain part of our history, a part of history to which we cannot close our eyes. We would like to thank Professor Tisch for your enlightening and intelligent analysis, and in particular for your willingness to speak to us today. Ladies and gentlemen, The Holocaust and mass murder were not a natural disaster, and no higher power can be held responsible. We need to remember this at all times, and we need to find ways to explain these crimes to future generations. Fortunately, today there is a great interest amongst young people. They want to know what happened, and they want to know why it was able to happen. This year, as in previous years, the German Bundestag has invited around 80 young people to attend a youth encounter. I would like to welcome you all here today, and with particular respect, on behalf of all the honoured guests here today, I would like to welcome Maria Blitz. She's here together with her sons Leo and Andrew, and with her grandson Brian. She is almost 92 years now, and she's visiting Berlin for the first time. She survived the Krakow ghetto and concentration camps and a labour camp, and she was finally able to escape from the death march going from Königsberg to Samland, which meant she was also able to escape the Palmicken massacre in 1945. And she's lived in the USA since 1949. The more time goes by since the Holocaust, the smaller the number of contemporary witnesses still alive, the larger the number of people in our society who have different cultural roots and a different upbringing and background, the more important it becomes to keep alive the responsibility of Germany's particular historical responsibility. And this includes maintaining and cultivating authentic sites, sites at which we can feel the victim's suffering, and sites at which the crimes of the perpetrators can be documented. The Topography of Terror Documentation Centre will be a site of this kind. At this place, Nazi crimes will be linked to concrete addresses and persons. And the European dimension of the Nazi regime of terror will become visible. It will be possible to see where the orders came from to murder millions of people and who gave the orders, including the order to build Auschwitz, which was given at the beginning of 1940, exactly 70 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, only 70 years have passed. And today we remember. And this remembrance has a particular poignancy in the 20th anniversary year of German reunification.